There's a wonderful verse in Psalm 25, 14. The friendship of Yahweh is with those who fear him. He will show them his covenant. Well, the Hebrew word translated friendship there is this Hebrew word sod, which really means council or court. And the idea is of a sort of inner council of members who listen to the king and discuss with the king. It's not a rubber stamping group of people. The idea is that this is a group of friends, of advisors, who meet before God and he discusses his intentions with them and they give their feedback. So the members of the sod, or the council, weren't passive listeners. They gave their advice and their requests, and the king factored that into his decision making. So this is an amazing idea, and it's not only here, it is in a number of places in the Old Testament. The idea is that God has this inner council, and that includes us, and he shows us his plans and intentions. You've got the idea in Amos 3 verse 7, the Lord will do nothing unless he first reveals his secret to his servants the prophets. And they, of course, speak it out, and those who wish to believe it will be, as it were, part of that secret. It's not that it's a secret that's hidden. The idea is that it is a confidential plan that's been revealed to the intimate circle. And you can be in that intimate circle if you believe God's word. It's called in Psalm 89, verse 7, the secret assembly of the saints. The secret assembly of the saints. The idea is that this is this inner council, and we are invited onto that. You get a couple of pictures of it, sort of peeks into it. When, for example, you read that God had the angels in front of him on his right hand and on his left, and he says that Ahab has got to die at Ramoth-Gilead. And they all come up with their suggestions. And one of them says, well, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And God says, that's it. You're the one. That's the way we'll go. You do that. And he's empowered to do it. Jeremiah 23, verse 18 would be another. For who has stood in the counsel of Yahweh that he should perceive and hear his word? Who has noted my word and heard it? It's as if the members of this sod, this council, this inner cabinet, as it were, are to, as it were, be with pencil and pen in, or paper, whatever, in hand, noting down his word. And that is how we are. This is what we're doing when we read the Bible, when we study it. So we have been invited into God's inner council. This is the intimacy that God seeks with man. Verse 22 of Jeremiah 23, if they had stood in my counsel, then had they caused my people to hear my words and had turned them from their evil way. So if you've heard the word that is there in the inner council, you will go out and persuade men and women appropriately. And so God is not a dictator. God is not a manipulator forcing people to do this or that. He has this inner council, which can include us, it includes the angels, and he factors in what we say. You see it really with his discussions with Moses, where he says to Moses, look, I'm going to destroy Israel and make of you a great nation, and don't come and persuade me otherwise. You really see the intimacy of God there in Exodus 32, and Moses does persuade God. No, don't do that. Because of whatever reasons he gives. The Egyptians will say that you couldn't save your people and you just destroyed them in the desert, etc. And so you see how God is open to dialogue and how God is not simply coming up with ideas and intentions and stating them, and that's it in a predictive sort of sense, and all we have to do is submit. It is more intimate than that. God is open to dialogue. God is sensitive, and he is involved in a kind of collaboration with us. And there is therefore this gap between God's statement of his intentions and his fulfillment of it. And during that gap, we can change. We can change the stated outcomes. We can persuade people to repent. We ourselves can repent. we can suggest things to God. And so, for example, you can suggest to God that maybe, Father, what about this plan that I have to open a soup kitchen? Would that be the way to go to get the gospel out to a certain sector of society where I live? I don't know what I'm going to do about the resources for it, but, you know, this is where prayer becomes dialogue. This is where the whole thing becomes two-way and mutual, that we talk to God in prayer, and prayer is not just a list of requests, do this, do that, hoping that you might get a certain percentage of your requests. It is discussion with God. It is opening your heart and your ideas and developing your ideas, and then being sensitive to how God answers. He may answer through your Bible reading, that suddenly you see that your situation is analogous to something that happened in the Bible. It may be answered or responded to, shall I say, by your meeting with another person who describes something that they did or are seeking to do. It can be answered in multiple ways. But God is in dialogue. And I find this wonderful. This is unique, I think, to biblical Christianity, that God is like this, that he has this inner counsel, this sword, and the friendship, as it's translated here in Psalm 25:14, the friendship of Yahweh, the counsel of Yahweh, the secret of Yahweh, is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. God is looking to reveal things to you. You see this very clearly in Ephesians and other parts of the New Testament, where we are told that God, through his Spirit, by which he does all things, is active in our hearts, is active in human life, strengthening us, revealing things to us, showing us the way to go. This is far different to trotting along to church once or maybe even twice a week, if you're that keen, and having the idea that, yeah, it's all about sort of steel-willed obedience to what he's saying. Of course, going to church and being obedient to God are not irrelevant, but they are far from the only dimensions of relationship with God. God is in search of man, and he is wanting to work with us, to collaborate with us, to achieve his purposes, rather than dictating.